Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle. Please go to the website foundation@hearstcastle.com to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
My name is Jeremy Bevan, interpretive naturalist with Charlestown State Park, Indiana State Parks.
And we're pretty close to Louisville, Kentucky, huh?
We're just upstream, about 14 miles. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about what's so special about this place.
We really have a lot of stories to tell here. Charlestown State Park is pretty unique. We're a young property, just turned 26 years old. Before that, this was actually an Army ammunition plant from the World War II era. Mm-hmm. And, of course, before that, it was farmland, as well as a resort that we had here called Rose Island.
That's what I'm so fascinated with.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Rose Island and its beginnings and endings.
Yeah, so Rose Island actually started out known as Fern Grove, which was a park that was designed for the local churches to come get out of the city and get back into nature and have
was
a day.
Late 1800s?
Yes, yeah. 1880s, mm-hmm. In fact, was when it first opened up. Yeah. But yeah, the churches would come up here for a day in nature, get the fresh air, just get away from the city. Mm-hmm. They did open it up to other organizations, and it did become a place for the general public as well. But yeah, it was a very popular place, pretty simple in those days. They did build a small hotel. They had a dance hall as well as a dining hall. But that was really the extent of Fern Grove.
And it was pretty much riverboat transportation for getting here and back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what was the main reason to start it, was you had a company in Louisville that operated steamboats hauling freight. Mm-hmm. But the railroad had really overtaken their industry. So they were just looking for a way to keep those boats profitable and thought if they could make this park up in a natural setting along the river that they could charge people to go.
Tell us about the two classic riverboats, and the one is still operating and tied up in Louisville.
Right, yeah. So there was a couple boats that brought people up. And the most well-known was the Idlewild, actually later renamed the Avalon. And then eventually it became known as the Belle of Louisville. So it's the oldest operating steamboat in the world.
It's like 109
years
old?
Yeah, just about to turn 110, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was another steamboat called the America. And it was actually much larger than the Belle of Louisville. Could hold much more people. It actually met its end in the river due to fire, though, as many steamboats did.
Let's talk about the era of Rose's Resort. It included a roller coaster.
Yeah. So the park eventually was put up for sale, and a businessman from Louisville named David Rose bought it in 1923 and really turned it into more of a resort. They did have a small roller coaster, a carousel. They had a shooting gallery. You know, like if you go to the fair today, the kids have squirt guns and they can shoot at targets to win a prize. Here, they were actually given 22 caliber rifles to show their marksmanship to win a prize.
That's really cool. Yeah. And then you had cabins and a dance hall.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the other cool
infrastructure. Yeah, so there were cabins along the riverbank that you could rent. You could stay in those all summer even, and many people did that. They did have a dance hall, which in the daytime was actually a roller skating rink. Mm-hmm. And then while the guests were having dinner, the staff would put down a fresh coat of wax for an evening of dancing.
And the cabins?
Yeah, the cabins were pretty impressive. They had running water, which was a huge deal in those days. They had a bathroom with a shower and toilet.
Indoor plumbing.
Yeah, the indoor outhouse, as they said. Yeah, uh-huh. And then they actually had kitchens with a cook stove and a refrigeration ice box. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, you were in the middle of nowhere at this time. You were in nature. To have those modern comforts was certainly quite a special
and
thing.
And Mr. Rose put in his own power plant out here?
He did, yeah. Before he came along, the site was pretty rustic and had no electricity, but he had a small power plant built on site to allow him to install all those modern features.
And he even had a zoo.
They did have a small zoo with a few animals on display, including monkeys, wolves. The star attraction, of course, was a black bear known as Teddy Roosevelt.
One of the interesting things about history it's all myth, legend, and lore, and some archival. But you managed to meet a guy that worked here as a kid.
Yeah.
That must have been priceless.
Absolutely. You know, before I met him, my tour would be about an hour, and he almost doubled it because he lived it. He actually lived in the hotel with his family for a few years. So just amazing. And, you know, it's one of those places where it's history, right? Mm-hmm. And we see these pictures and these stories, and never in my wildest dreams did I expect someone from those photos, from those stories, to show up.
Tell us about the flood, because that's what wiped out a lot of the physical evidence of this resort.
Yeah, unfortunately, being on the river, they had many prosperous years, but 1937, we saw the most devastating flood that's ever been seen in this part of the country.
Mind-blowing. You have some markers up in the trees.
Yes.
You can't even comprehend how humongous that flood was.
Right,
yeah. You said it was a 500-year flood?
Yeah, it's what they would call a 500-year flood. It was January of 1937. They had 2 weeks of nonstop rainfall. You know, had nowhere to go. So it flooded much of Louisville. Over 60% of the city was underwater at one point there as well.
Wow. Yeah. Sadly, there's odds are strong that it could happen again.
Yeah, definitely so. You know, flooding is becoming more common, at least in our part of the country here. And those January, February floods are pretty predictable almost every year now.
And tell us again the name of the state park where we're at right now.
So we are at Charlestown State Park. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think Charleston. No, we're Charlestown. Mm-hmm. Charlestown State Park in southern Indiana.
So this park is operated by DNR of Indiana.
Yes, sir. Indiana Department of Natural Resources.
Mm-hmm. From evidence in our hiking today, one of the popular draws here would be hikers.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really been our big draw, historically speaking. We have about 17 miles of trail, various difficulties, but that's been our main draw for many years. And then with the Rose Island site reopening in 2011, that's become our number one attraction, certainly. But a lot of hikers come out. In the springtime, we have amazing wildflower displays. We do full moon hikes every month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a pretty popular guided hike we do here as well.
And bikers?
We don't have any mountain bike trails yet, but we get a lot of road bikers. Mm-hmm. Certainly see mountain bike trails in our future.
So where's your demographic primary draw other than Louisville?
It's really shifting. Historically, you know, the first 10, 15 years, it was a lot of local people. Mm-hmm. It's really changed dramatically over the last few.
Think it's because of the word is getting out?
Or? That's a lot of it, yeah. Mm-hmm. People are figuring us out. Or we get a lot of people from Indianapolis area, northern Indiana now. But literally, I've had people on hikes with me from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I imagine another dynamic, COVID kind of shifted consciousness for people to focus more on outdoor activities. So that would be a no-brainer to come here.
Yeah, absolutely. When that got going and, you know, outdoor spaces were the only spaces you could go, we got lots of people that had never been to any parks before coming here.
So you saw your numbers go up.
Dramatically, yes. And they've continued to stay pretty high. Now we have a whole new audience that we have to kind of educate all over again on what parks are and what they offer and what to do when you're at parks.
So right now we're in the main lodge and interpretive center.
Yeah. So this is our store, our lodge, our nature center, office. It's all kind of a jack of all trades building.
And you have t-shirts and sweatshirts over there.
Oh, yeah. We try to get some good souvenirs for folks to remember your experiences here.
I love come to the park side.
Yes, that's a good one.
I love it. So a little bit more what you're most proud of?
Well, Rose Island, certainly a very popular site. To me, the spring wildflowers are unbeatable here. So I always encourage people to come out here in the early springtime. We have a fantastic campground as well. I put our campground against any in the state.
Really?
Yeah. Big sites. We have full hookup sites, which are pretty in demand these days.
Yeah.
And those primitive sites just don't get used much.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, when a lot of our campgrounds were first built, you had a station wagon and a tent. And now everybody has an RV.
Yeah, backed in and put the tailgate up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now we're getting buses.
I remember kid, my mom taking us cross country to Minnesota.
And oh, sure.
Like a World War II surplus tent.
Yeah.
The Coleman stove.
Right.
Yeah. And the blue jelly to keep things.
Oh.
The ice, remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was camping. Mm-hmm. Now it's RVing.
Yeah. Well, to learn more about your world, do you have a go-to
website? So you can go to the Indiana DNR website, which is dnr.in.gov. Or, of course, if you're on Facebook, you can follow us at Charlestown State Park. Mm-hmm. And we do post all of our programs and events there pretty regularly. Again, I'm Jeremy Bevan. I'm the naturalist here at the park.
Jeremy, thank you for a wonderful hike this morning. This was really revealing.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah,
and I'm glad it wasn't flooding.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we'd be underwater.
Yes.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Southern Indiana. We'll see you here.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer on KCBX Radio. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. Their last 2 bits for none of it.